Hallelujah. What a special anointing today. And the title of this sermon is God, Is That You? This morning, Pastor Michael said, you know, I really feel led to share something out of Rick Joyner's book, The Call, about worship. Would that be okay? And the Lord said, yes, that would be okay. To open up, and I didn't know what he was going to read, but I felt led of the Lord that it was something that would be a blessing to the ministry this morning. And it fell into alignment with exactly what God wants me to minister this morning. Our relationship with God is experiential. Our relationship with God is one that no other religion can conceive of. Because religion is following something that they believe, someone that they believe, but they're following a dead God. They're following maybe a God that never existed. They're following a hand-carved image that man had to create. So if I create something, why am I going to worship it? If I was the creator of it, shouldn't I be greater than what I just created? But see, our God, our Heavenly Father, created us. And to this day, doctors say that they cannot recreate a whole human being. They're just learning how to put our parts back together. He's incredible, our God. He is greater than anything in the universe because he made it all. And Jesus came here to redeem us. Because one man was given an opportunity made in his image, Adam. And all God said to do in Genesis 1 is be fruitful, multiply, and take dominion over the what? Earth. And so if in our lives we are still having challenges of having dominion over finances, having dominion over sickness and disease, having dominion over relationships that might be broken that need to be restored, having dominion over anything, that means that we have not accomplished taking full dominion as was delegated to us. And that's why we're teaching School of Dominion. So each of us, no matter where we are in our walk with God, can grow to that next level because Jesus had to come in the flesh because that's the rules. God doesn't break his rules. A man or woman of flesh and blood had to come and take back the dominion of this earth. So he gave up his godliness. He changed his form. If someone said to a guy, do you want to be changed into a frog? He might say, only if I can get out of this, if I kiss a princess, maybe. But that's a big change, isn't it? Well, to Jesus, it might have been the same. Give up his godliness and change into a human being. He gave up a lot. Have we ever thought about that? And now he's forever a new creature. And he wants us to be the same thing. He created a new race, a new creature, born again, spirit-filled, with all the rights of Adam. And then he gave us greater rights. Because we can have dominion over the heavenlies. We can have dominion over the things on the earth. And under world, the area of darkness. And so God wants to remind us today, who are we listening to? What are we listening to? Who are we truly following? Is the word of God so engrafted into our hearts that all we want to do is please the Heavenly Father and not sin? And if someone sins against us and makes a mistake, do we rake them over the coals? Or do we extend mercy and grace because that's what we want God to do as he teaches each of us? And we grow. Amen? And I'm learning not to be offended. Boy, that's a tough one. You know, when the devil's done you wrong, when people misconstrue things or they assume something without ever asking you, and they just think they know it all, and then base a deduction on something that wasn't even the correct premise, someone has a tendency to get offended. Then they don't even want to talk to you or learn your side of the story or the truth. Has that ever happened to anybody else? And a lot of it happens with children and their parents. Parents think they know everything. And the child is just sitting there going, well, you don't know what's in my brain or my head or my thoughts. And then sometimes the child doesn't say a thing and just takes the punishment. The devil wants Christians to just take punishment. He wants to create things that cause strife. He wants to create anger and frustration. He wants to create wounds of the heart and people being hurt and offended and misunderstood because he's the father of lies. And he does it in such a tricky way that it makes people think that it's God. God isn't pushy in the way of you have to do something and unless you do it, you just keep hearing over and over and over a compulsion to do something like someone who has no dirt on their hands. And I watched this TV show called Monk. I don't know if any of you have seen that funny TV show. He was a detective and then he was let go because of some circumstances. And he had this challenge of obsessive compulsion disorder since childhood, but then it increased and got worse after he was released from the police force. But he was such a good detective. They kept hiring him as a consultant to help them solve crime. But he didn't want to shake anybody's hand because if he did, he would get germs. He'd always have to run to the bathroom immediately and wash his hands if he shook someone's hand. Or one time he was on an escalator and he was going down and you hold on to the rail so you don't fall and there's someone's gum was stuck to it. And he freaked out because the gum was touching his hand. So now someone spit on top of germs was touching his hand. So he had to run down the escalator and he had to, you know, go take care of his hands. And, you know, that's pushy. Something kept saying to him, go wash your hands, go wash your hands, go wash your hands, go wash your hands. That's not God. Okay. So if you say, God, is that you? If it's that pushy, it probably isn't. Do you see what I'm saying? Because he was afraid. It was based on fear, number one, fear of being contaminated. And how many fears do we hear the voice of fear in our ears and in our mind of demons, devils, or evil spirits saying, do this, do this, do this. And then you do it because you think that maybe it's a good thing. And people don't stop and analyze their thoughts. They just listen to whatever the thought says. And then if you're obedient to that thought, that thought's not God, we've just become obedient to the devil. And so we need to come to analysis before we act, we got to think in our mind, does that thought line up with the word of God? Before we speak, we should probably not say anything if we feel, I got to express my emotions. Nobody lets me express myself, so I'm just going to give it to them loud and clear. And that's pushy. See, that's the demon of anger. Then it gets worse and worse. Demon of rage. And one guy was so angry with his wife about something very insignificant, but he allowed a demon of rage to push him to the point that he passed out. And he woke up in a jail cell, and he was a nice guy, but he had this challenge with rage. And he said, why am I here? He said, you were so angry, you killed your wife. It's too late at that point to bring back a life. But it wasn't too late to repent and say, Lord, forgive me. For I didn't know what I was doing. Let's not let the devil push us that far that we think that something is right when it's not. How do you know the difference? I want to know the difference. I want to learn the difference. And every time I blow it, I'm going to get better and better and better and closer and closer and closer to God, and hearing his voice more clearly, more clearly, more clearly. And when he appears to me, as he often does, and he speaks to me, it's always because I was in worship. He inhabits the praises of his people, and he receives your praises as sweet incense unto him, an offering unto him. And you become one with the Heavenly Father, pleasing him so much that Jesus has an open avenue to come and dwell and inhabit our praises. And the Holy Spirit, because we worship him in spirit and truth, and then our hearts are open to him, and then he could speak to us. He could speak to our hearts. He could speak to our ears. He could speak to our minds. He can show us things to come. He can reveal to us things that we didn't know, things that we didn't realize, things that were presumed. He can show us right and wrong. He can teach us to operate in the discerning of spirits, which most Christians do not seek. It's just a list in 1 Corinthians 12 of the gifts of the Spirit. But if you ask God for something, if you ask for bread, is he going to give you a stone? No, the Bible says. If you ask for something, if it's within his power and aligned with his word, he will not withhold it from you or me. If we ask for godly wisdom, he will give it to us liberally, freely, generously, frequently, is some of the translations. God, I said to him one day, I want to discern right from wrong. I want to know how to be guided and not be deceived by charlatans, or not misunderstand something and lose friendships. God, would you teach me when the devil's trying to bamboozle me? I just didn't want to be taken anymore by a spirit of deception, thinking it was God. But it was really, a lot of times, the devil having a voice sounding like God, and it was like a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. And then things fell apart and didn't go right. And I thought, oh, that wasn't God. I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody else but me, but oh, well. That's when I started asking more and more, God, would you help me? And then he started saying to me, worship me, commune with me, spend time with me. He said most people turn on their praise and worship and then they just do dishes, get in the shower, do whatever, or sing, and they don't really just come to spend time with me, like an appointment. If you had an appointment with a very important person, normally you'd be dressed right because of respect or honor. Secondly, you probably wouldn't be late because maybe you wouldn't find that person's favor, because being late sometimes can be disrespectful. So I'm, you know, another thing working on in my life, don't be late. How many times did I have to RRB that? Probably still a lot. Okay, but thank God the Lord gives us a do-over when we make mistakes, and he puts those sins in the sea of forgetfulness, right? So I said, okay, Lord, teach me to hear your voice. I want to see you. I want to please the Heavenly Father and be in your presence. This has been one of my goals since I became saved. And I work hard at it. It is not something I take lightly. And especially when there's mistakes, I have to go back to the drawing board. But there are times that God does speak to me and other people don't think it is. And then I go back and I ask the Lord to help me operate in discerning of spirits and to judge rightly who is right, who is wrong. And then I take their advice and I learn from it. Or I might say, oh, they thought that wasn't God, but you specifically spoke to me and gave me an assignment and things panned out. Like when the Lord said to me, you will minister to the president of Guatemala and the first lady of the nation. And I started laughing like, I hardly even speak Spanish. Oh yeah, I don't think so, Lord. And then I hear thoughts in my mind say, are you laughing like Sarah of Old Testament laughed? And I went, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't mean to mock you. I just thought it was like so far-fetched. How could I, a Chinese girl, go to a Spanish-speaking country and minister to their president? I don't even really speak their language, and nobody really knows me. I was not laughing at him. I was laughing at the situation of how could that ever be possible? So I repented, though, because I didn't want the Lord upset. And I said, okay, Lord, just like Mary, the Virgin Mary said, I said to him, be it unto me according to your word. So that was the day I was packing up to go to Guatemala to be a missionary. And I was driving down there. And I got there and I didn't really know many people. And I was invited to be a guest speaker as a woman in a macho, manly country to an entire group of pastors, some of whom had over 5,000, 8,000, 10,000 congregation in their members, some of whom had 500 churches, some of whom had 2,000 churches throughout the world. I was invited to be a guest speaker. And through that ministry, people have always asked me to speak on how do I hear the voice of God. So guess what they asked me to speak on? How do I hear the voice of God? Because the one pastor that the Lord sent me to be in his church, the Lord told me many things about the pastor and his wife. And he told me to prophesy to them privately. And he said, only God would know this. You could only know this information by the Spirit of God. And you've brought me answers that I've been asking God for many, many years, and started to cry and thank me. So he knew I heard the voice of God because he experienced that. And he said, you have to help the other pastors. We've been praying about something in particular. And as a result of that, I was asked to go speak to a presidential candidate and pray at a prayer meeting. And the Lord, when I arrived, said, He is the president of Guatemala. I hear this voice in my head. I'm talking to God in my head. No, God. He's maybe going to be a candidate. He hasn't even decided yet. And God's answer was, he said again, he is the president of Guatemala. I said, God, what do you mean he is? I don't get it. How can he be is when he's not yet? He said, because he is, because I called it so. I said, okay. And I want you to tell him that. I said, they're going to think I'm an idiot. How can I tell a guy he is something when he's not and think I'm a weirdo and I only speak English? How are they going to even understand me? He said, then he gave me a vision and I saw the man. He was kneeling. Everybody was kneeling at the prayer meeting. And I saw him stand up. And then I went over to him and gave him the message of the Lord. So about an hour, they're still kneeling. We're still worshiping. We're still all praying in tongues. I said, oh, well, maybe that wasn't the Lord. I can't go minister to him because I have to do what I saw. I only do what I see or hear. I don't add to it. I don't take away from it. I am a messenger. I take that very seriously. So when you hear God say something to do something and it's really God, you don't interpret it your way. You have to just be like a tape recorder. You just repeat what you heard or you tell what you see. You don't put your spin on it. No spin. So I said, okay, maybe that wasn't the Lord, you know? And then all of a sudden he stands up and goes exactly where I saw him in my vision. And now my heart's going, now I have to go do it. Oh, no. Okay, I'm all like nervous and everything, you know? And so I get up because we were all on our knees praying and everything. And then I go over to him and I said, excuse me, sir, because he's very, very well known amongst his peers. He was a pastor. I have to speak for them very respectfully because he's just not a whoever guy, you know. Excuse me, I believe I have a word from the Lord for you, but I didn't know their English level or anything at the time. And I said, do you have someone that can interpret to you in Spanish if you prefer that instead of me give it to you in English? He says, all my kids speak English and Spanish fluently and you could do it in English, but you know what? Let me bring my daughter over and she'll just interpret just to make sure that I will understand this. I said, okay, great. So the daughter came over and I said to him, the Lord said, I couldn't use is because I'm speaking to him now. You know, you is the president. That wouldn't make sense. But I did say it, you know, just change the grammar, but it was exactly what the Lord wanted. The Lord said, you are the president of the Republic of Guatemala. And his eyes got really big and he smiled and he said, that is a confirmation of a prophecy I received many years ago. And that is why I'm considering running for president this election. And he says, you've now confirmed to me I'm supposed to run. You could only know that by the Spirit of God. And he said, where do you come from? A ministry association? I said, yes, I'm with Kenneth Hagin Ministries with Rhema. And he started to smile again. He said, I got kicked out of my church for preaching Kenneth Hagin. He said, I've been praying, God, would you send me a minister from Kenneth Hagin? And here you are. So it's actually an answer to prayer without even realizing it, you know? And I went, wow. Even though I was nervous, I hear and I obey. I obeyed. And then God gave me a lot of prophecies, and some of them were urgent. They were in the now. There's a difference between pushiness and urgency. There's a difference between insistiveness and pushiness. And I had learned the difference between the two. One day, the Lord says, I want you to go over to the presidential candidate's house now. well, Lord, you know, it's my day off and I don't want to wear a dress and I don't want to whatever. Because you usually have to be very proper back in those days and wear dresses to church every time there was church. And especially going over to the president of candidate's house. And he said, now, and I want you to tell him these things, that he is not to align with this person and that person and that person. It will be detrimental to him. I said, I have to say it that way. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, really kind of demanding. He goes, well, it's not you talking, it's me. I said, well, that's true. Okay, so I get in my car, I go over there, and guess who he's having a private meeting with? These very, very, very powerful, influential people. The two people. Right then. And the Lord said, interrupt them. That's like going up to the presidential candidate and saying, excuse me, you have to stop meeting with the head of the Republican Party or the head of the, you know, Democratic Party so I could talk to you. Number one, the Secret Service wouldn't even let you get close because they have Secret Service. Number two, that would be very rude. And number three, they'd probably excommunicate you from their circle of friends. And number three, they'd probably have the armed guards drag you out. Or whatever number that was. Anyway. And I said, do what? Interrupt them? Again, my heart was like, boom, 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 boom. I'm really nervous. And the Lord says, I told you, this is the second time, I've learned, when the Lord tells you three times, don't wait for the fourth, because usually something, you open yourself up when you're not obedient to the things of the enemy. So he told me three times, and I knew I had to just do it. So knocked on the door. Could you please tell so-and-so that I have a message from the Lord and he needs to hear it now? And he knew my track record and immediately excused himself. Because at this point, I'm now his personal prophetic intercessor. What's a prophetic intercessor? Someone who prays and I hear from God what to pray. God tells me to pray it and it happens immediately. It saved his life from being assassinated and being murdered by a coup. When you hear the voice of God, you have to develop to that point so you save people's lives and your own. Especially when tanks are surrounding the presidential house and you're the only one that's allowed to leave because God told me to leave at that time. I didn't even know the coup was under the way. I was present when it happened. You have to know God's voice well, because when you get in the end times, you are going to be too late to learn it then. We have to practice now. And as he excused himself and I told him the message of the Lord, he said, you're right on time. I was about to make alliances. Do you see how important that would have been? Because the Lord told me there were men who had spilled innocent blood and he could not align unequally yoked with other people. What would that have done to him? It would have been the sin of Achan, who brought in ungodly things, and he made alliances in the spirit realm with what he brought into the camp, Israelites' camp, and it caused them to be destroyed and not win their battle. And it avoided the sin of Achan to bring in their resources that was so badly needed in order in the natural to win a campaign. God said, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. God said, I don't need anybody else. You are my man. I will put you where I need you. And so God is saying to each of us, you don't need anything of this world. You need the Spirit of God. You need to hear the Spirit of God. You need to see Jesus. You need to discern in spirits. You need to develop the gifts, all the gifts, and we need to develop all the fruit. All of us need all of these things, you and I, no matter what level we're at, because we cannot be deceived by the enemy. Do you know God uses me as a scout? A lot of times people say, let's go here. And although I already looked on the map or something, the Lord says, now I'm going to show you something, check something out. That place is closed. It's not even open for lunch. I'm like, okay, sure enough, wasn't open for lunch. Then it happened again. That's just a little thing. But see, that's how God uses me as a scout, so that I will tell those that are in leadership what God is showing me, like a periscope, or like the troops that go ahead before the rest of the army come in, and they give the intel, the intelligence reports, to the commander in chief so they could make a better decision, because that commander in chief is so busy doing many other things. But I am sent out into the things of the spirit to see it, know it, hear the voice of God, pray it out, and then it happens. Happens all the time. So the Lord gave me prophetic intercession and prophecies that this man literally took and used, and he won by landslide when he wasn't supposed to win with any money. President of the nation. Asked my sister. She went to the inauguration. My parents, my other sister. We invited Kenneth Hagin to the inauguration. He thanked us, but he had another event and couldn't go. Why? Because that's what hooked us up. He taught us Mark 11, 22 to 25. He personally mentored me and advised me, showed me how to hear the voice of God, went to his home, helped me to discern things. One of my great mentors. And then I come to ABC, and what is Pastor Joshua and Pastor Sarah teaching? Mark 11, 24. And I knew that they were supposed to be my new mentors. Perfect fit, right? How to learn to hear the voice of God better. And I have, through cleansing. Boy, has that changed my life. God, is that you? And now I hear the answer so much better through worshiping, through being cleansed. You see, as God's sheep, you'll hear the shepherd's voice, John 10, 3 through 5. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out, his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a who? Stranger. But will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And I've been teaching this in a series called How to Hear the Voice of God. God's word is interactive. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, but the part of the scripture I want to focus on today is not hearing the voice of strangers. Is it our own voice of flesh? Is it the devil pretending to be God and sounds like a good idea, but not a good idea? Or is it really the Holy Spirit telling us the will of our Heavenly Father? Ask before you act. Ask before you speak. And then look at your hits and misses. Write it down. I thought this was God. Did it come to pass, and did it turn out aligned with God? How many times? What is your percentage rate? If your percentage is 2% correct, then you have to keep working at it, because the things would come to pass the way God told you. Just like he told me, you will minister to the president of Guatemala and the first lady. Well, when they became president, the first lady asked me to be a traveling companion and intercede for her and all her events, as well as interceding for her husband, but travel with her. And they took me in like a spiritual daughter. And did that come to pass? Yes. Was it the voice of God? Hindsight's 20/20, right? And so my track record's like 90%, not 100%, but I'm getting there. But it's taken me many, many years. Since 1988, I've been working on hearing the voice of God as a primary goal in my life. And so those of you that haven't been working on that long, God said today, many people will hear his voice like they've never heard it before. Many people will see him. And every time I minister on this subject around the world, and many times it's to pastors and leaders, sometimes it's to presidents, ambassadors, their entire staff of the consulate, or it's just to one individual, or it's to go to the garbage dump to minister to the people that live there. I count it an honor to minister to each person God has sent me to, because I'm his vessel, and I want to be ready for my master to use. Every soul is precious to my Lord, no matter what station of life you're at, no matter if you have wealth or not, because sometimes the people without money are the most gracious and loving. Each of us are valued as treasures unto God. And I want us to pray this prayer today. And then just sing, I exalt thee, with your eyes closed. And you could stand or sit or kneel, however you feel comfortable, because the Lord told me he would speak to you and reveal himself to you in one way, shape, or form. Even if you don't see him, don't think that you're less valued, because it comes with practice as your goal. Or if you don't hear him yet, but he's going to have a presence that you will sense today to a greater degree that you haven't had before, because he promised me and he never lies. So say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father,
in the name of Jesus,
I ask you
to help me
operate
in the gifts of the Spirit
as the Spirit wills,
and especially in discerning of spirits,
to discern good from evil,
and the angel of light
that would try to seem like God's voice,
but it's really the wolf disguised as a sheep.
Help me to recognize the voice of a stranger,
so I will not obey it.
I will only obey
and recognize clearly
the voice of my good shepherd.
And help me
to operate
to a greater degree
in the fruit of the Spirit.
And Lord, I want to hear your voice
and obey.
And I want to see you
and commune with you.
And I want you
to be present
when I worship you.
I want to be your vessel of honor,
ready for my master to use.
Lord, I come to worship you
in spirit and in truth.
Inhabit my praises now.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
The Lord would say unto us, you are all my children, and you all love me. But I desire that you be all adults in my family, that you be all manifested sons and daughters of mine, that each of you mature more and more in my word, and in hearing my voice, and being led by my Spirit. For as many as are led by my Spirit are the adults in my family. And hearing my voice more and more clearly will come as you exercise my word to move into the strong meat of my word, that you may better discern good from evil. As you mature in my strong meat and become more skilled at dividing the truth of what you hear, of seeing and identifying the evil in wolves and sheep's clothing, the evil that comes as a roaring lion as a serpent or as an angel of light. As you can better divide the word, as you can better discern the word and discern the truth, my glory and my power will be released through you more and more. And those of you who understand that hearing my word requires doing my word, those of you who understand that loving me is not just in your mind and in your words, but in your actions which do keep my commandments, the future for you is so much brighter than those who have chosen to stop at loving me with their minds and their words. For it is when you are a hearer and a doer in loving me in your heart, loving me in your soul, your mind, and your word, your works, your words, in your possessions, that's when my glory will flow most fully out of you to change your world, to change your circumstances, to provide protection to those that you love. My children, I desire for you to hear me perfectly, to love me perfectly, to be perfectly obedient to me, to live for me, to be my vessel bearing my power and my glory to those who need it. I have repeatedly called my people to come out of iniquity, to come out of others, to come out of the world, to come out of mammon. And to the extent that you do participate, know that you're working for me and work as unto me. That whatever you do, wherever you are assigned, be there, be assigned, because I've put you there, and work as unto me. And whatever you do that is carnal, physical, of this world, know that you're really not of this world, even though you may participate in certain ventures. Keep yourself separated by knowing that you're working for me. I am the one who's called you. I am your boss. I am your provider. I am your everything. Let my love in you flow out through your words and your actions, that you may hear me so ever more clearly and live a sanctified life set apart for my use. Thus saith the Lord.